You know, this time of the year, it's so special. And the message of Christ in Christmas was told in such an incredible way that articulated every detail of why Jesus came. And I knew that I was going to have a little more time to give a short message, at the end. But, you know, what came to my mind was a couple of things. Was Jesus the light of the world? But what kept resonating in my spirit was the name of Jesus. It is the name of Jesus that is so powerful and so strong. You know, the Word of God is so explicit when it says why Christ came. So many people don't know the true meaning of Christmas because they haven't read the Scriptures or understood the Scriptures. But the name of Jesus spoke light into the darkness. And I can tell you, he spoke light into the darkness of my heart when I was a 14-year-old boy. When I heard the message of Christ and why he came, the message of Jesus, and it was such a powerful thing. You know, the world has been trying to sanitize Christ out of Christmas. Have you noticed that? That they've been trying to sanitize the name of Jesus from Christmas. Santa Claus is okay. You know, sleigh bells and all the, you know, fun songs that we sing is okay. Rocking around the Christmas tree is okay. But when we speak of Jesus, then people get a little unsettled. Some people do. I read in the news app a couple of weeks ago, then I don't remember her name, but the former governor of Michigan, who's going to be in Biden's cabinet, she said that, made a comment that, someone said Merry Christmas to my son, my little boy, and he was just unsettled and terrified about that. And I thought, why? Why? Why is that? And then I remember some of the stories that were told about Charles Schulz and a Charlie Brown Christmas when it was going to be produced and show up on CBS back in the middle 60s, and the network's executives had a little meeting, and they came to Charles Schulz and had this meeting with him and said, you know, we love the Charlie Brown Christmas. It is so cool. It's so, you know, it's going to, children are going to love it, and children and adults. But we have one request. You have to take Linus's part out where he tells the Christmas story and reads the Scriptures, because that will be offensive to a lot of people. This is back in the middle 60s. So this has been going on since Bethlehem, really, when Herod tried to sanitize Christ out of Christmas before people even heard the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. This is the cool part about Christmas. That's why the enemy wants to sanitize Christ from Christmas. You know, even as I said back in the 60s when the network's executives tried to cleanse that, my wife just about 2 or 3 weeks ago went to Sam's Club, and she's looking for our grandchildren. And we have a little grandson who's a couple years old, and she found the book, kind of a push-and-play book where it has the Charlie Brown characters. If you push a play and you read it along, it has their voices from the Charlie Brown Christmas. And so you push and play. And she bought it thinking, oh, Michael will just love this. And she got it home, and she was opening it up, looking through it, and admiring it. And then all of a sudden, I was out in the living room, and I heard her say, they took the story of Christmas out. And I didn't know what she was talking about. How many men know what I'm talking about? You know, our wives sometimes say things, and we're like, what? What are you talking about? Well, she did. And she showed me. She said, look. She said, I'm not going to pull the tab. There's a tab you can pull, and then you can push and play. But she said, it ends with Charlie Brown wanting to know what Christmas is all about. And then it says, Linus gets up on stage, and then you turn the page, and it says, well, Charlie Brown said, I'm not going to let commercialism ruin my Christmas, picks up the Christmas tree and walks out. They left out the Christmas story from the book of Luke. And I thought, they're never ending. They're relentless. What they couldn't do in the 60s, they're doing in the 2020s. And this is just disturbing to me, because Christ is the hope of the world. He is the hope of the world. The name of Jesus is so powerful that Joseph, when he was espoused to be married to Mary, In other words, they weren't married yet, but they were engaged. And in the culture at that time, it meant more than just engaged. It meant that they were almost as good as married, except they didn't sleep together. And you know what happened? The story of Christmas is that an angel came to Mary and said, you are highly favored of God, and said that you will conceive, being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And she said, how can this be, since I haven't ever had any relations with a man? And he said, but the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you'll become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, when he found this out, is like, you know, he's like, she's been unfaithful. But he didn't want to put her away, or that's a kind of a way of ending your espousement, your divorce, almost like a divorce back then. He didn't want to publicly shame her, so he was deciding to do it quietly. Well, Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1, had a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said to him, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And he went on to say in verse 21, and she will have a son, and you are to call him or name him Jesus. For why? Because he will save his people from their sins. And it said, all this confirmed, occurred to fulfill the message through his prophet, the prophet Isaiah, 800 and some years before this happened. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son. So his birth was miraculous, the name of Jesus. And it goes on to say, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And, you know, I love that word Emmanuel, because we need God, don't we? We need a Savior. There are times when life gets hard and real. And we like to tough it out, and you know, we like to say, well, you can soldier through this. But there are times when things get so bad, and whether it's our health or whether it's relationships collapsing or it's disappointments with some of our family members because of choices that they've made that pull them away from the Lord. But there are times when there's financial setbacks, and it's discouraging, and sometimes we feel all alone. But I can tell you from the Word of God, God is not a man that he can lie. And I can tell you through personal experiences that God is an ever-present help in a time of need, that he never leaves us or forsakes us when we trust in him as Savior. His name is still Emmanuel, for he is God with us. Isn't that an awesome thing? Wonderful story of Christmas. You know, what is the meaning of the name of Jesus? And we say, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Kevin DeYoung says this. He says that Jesus was a common name in Palestine in that day, just like Jim, John, or Jerry. When Mary and Joseph called their son Jesus, there were no prayers in his name at that time. There was no one used it as a swear word. There were no songs that were sung about that name. It was a very common name. But common as it was Jesus by design. In the Greek, the word is Isus. In Aramaic, the language Jesus spoke is Yesu. Both were derived from the Hebrew. The name is Yeshua or Joshua. Joshua is made up of two parts, Yah, which is short for Yahweh, and Hoshea, which means salvation. By design. God is a good planner, isn't he? Hence, Mary and Joseph give their little baby the name of Jesus, which literally means Yahweh is salvation. Jesus, can I tell you today, we think of the name of Jesus. Jesus is more than a great teacher. Can I tell you that, you know, some people who don't believe in him as Savior say, well, he was a rabbi, he was a great teacher. He had great thoughts and a philosophy for life. But he was more than a great teacher. He was more than just an enlightened man. He was more than a worker of miracles, which he did. He was more than giving us the meaning of life, more than a self-help guru, as some people see him, more than a self-esteem builder, more than a political liberator, more than a caring friend, although he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, more than a transformer of cultures, and more than a purpose for the purposeless. Jesus is what? Jesus is a Savior for sinners. And we all have sinned, the Word of God tells us in Romans. All have fallen short of the standard that God has set for us. But the good news is that Christ paid the penalty for our sin. Amen. He is our Savior, a Savior of sinners. The name of Jesus charms our fears and bids our sorrows to cease. It is music to the sinner's ears and is life and health and peace. The poet put his words to music and to worship, singing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." And he is Lord of all. He is King of all kings and Lord of all lords. There really is, as the songwriter, the Gaithers, wrote, something about that name. Not just something about that name, but everything about that name. The power of the name of Jesus is this. As stated, it was a common name in his day. Many named their sons Jesus after the great leader of the days gone by as Joshua. But to the shepherds, when they were visited by angels while they were out watching their sheep by night, it meant salvation. To the hurting and the helpless, his name is Healer. To the demon-possessed and tormented, he was Deliverer and Healer. To the lepers, he was cleansing and washing and restoration. To the faithful who die believing in his name, the name meant resurrection and the life. That we have the resurrection and the life when we believe on his name. That the name of Jesus and now is salvation forevermore. And what do we say in Acts chapter 4:12 when Peter preached his sermon and he closed it off with this, and he refers to in verse 11 as, "For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders have rejected has now become the chief cornerstone." And verse 12 just clinches it. And he says that there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. There's an eternal impact also of the name of Jesus, eternal impact. He wasn't just someone in history who made a dent in history and made a name for himself that brought it up 2,000 years that he did something. Like one of the Caesars or one of the great dictators of days gone by or conquerors like Alexander the Great. But Jesus' impact was not just temporal in history, but his impact was eternal, eternal. The Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14, talking about when the days come by when Jesus does return. Now, Jesus Christ is going to return one day. The Word of God says he came the first time as a babe in the manger. The second time he comes back as king and conqueror and judge. But Paul says that, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow like others who have no hope. For if we believe..." Notice that it says there that if we believe, it's our choice. God gave us a free choice, didn't he? That's his gift to us. We can choose to do whatever we want. But he says that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even God will bring with them those who sleep in Jesus. You know what that means? That means that those who have died believing in the name of Jesus Christ as Savior, that one day when Christ returns, the Bible says a trumpet will sound, the archangel will blow the trumpet, and the great noise will take place, and the graves are going to open of those who trusted in Christ as Savior. And they're going to rise, and they're going to meet him in the air, and they will see Christ face to face. And the Bible says, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 13, is that when we see him face to face, we will be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And our bodies will transform into a glorious body refashioned after his own body, which is eternal. Eternal impact because of Christ, because of Jesus coming. His name is eternal. And concerning judgment, there will be a judgment. We don't hear a lot about that today in our culture, but you know what? What does the Word of God say about that? In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, Paul says to the Philippians, "Therefore God has," talking about the name of Jesus, "highly exalted him." Say highly exalted. Not just exalted, but highly exalted him. "And has given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus," listen to this, "every knee should bow." Say that with me. Every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. And he goes on in verse 11, and that every tongue, not some, every tongue. Remember, we have a free choice in this life while we're alive. But coming at the judgment, we will do what God will tell us to do. And those who have not trusted in Christ as Savior in this life when they had the choice, they will, to the glory of God, confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God, to the glory of the Father. The babe in the manger, Jesus, so calm and mild, would grow in the favor of God and man. He'd heal the sick. He'd raise the dead. He'd bring hope to the hopeless and light in the darkness. He'd bleed on a sinner's death on a cruel cross. He would be buried according to the scriptures, and the third day would rise from the dead victorious over the power of death and of hell. And for those who will trust in him, he will give us eternal life, life without end. In bliss, not just surviving and sucking air on a ventilator or anything else. It'll be life as we have never known it or can imagine. In heaven with Jesus, enjoying the pleasures of heaven and the presence of God. How do we do this? You know, the kids really presented the gospel in a very powerful way. You know, it's simply by believing. What we, you know, Paul said earlier in Thessalonians, he said that if we believe that Jesus died, rose again, then we have eternal life. And Paul said to the Romans in chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if, got a choice, if who? If you. Not a whole crowd. It's not like a machine gun shooting, you know, and hoping you hit some people. It's if you. You know, if you do what? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Saved from what? Eternal damnation. Eternity in a place called hell that burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. And how does this happen? You say, well, how does this happen? Paul says, well, in case you were wondering, he said, it is with your heart that one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. In other words, you got your head here, your mouth is speaking, but you know what? Sometimes we speak, we don't really believe what we're saying. But this means that when you believe in your heart with all your soul that Jesus died on a cross and bled and died for me, for my sins, to pay the penalty for my sins. And that if I ask him to forgive me, he will do that. And if you believe that with all your heart and you speak it with your mouth, is your body is coming into an agreement with your heart. And there is power in agreement. And when you say that, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come into agreement to say that they're going to save you and forgive you and give you an eternal home in heaven when we die. The name of Jesus, what do we say? Is light in the darkness. And I think most importantly, he is light in our darkness. This 2020 has been a dark year, hasn't it? Not just in the United States, but across the world. Multiple people have died of this dreaded disease that was created in a lab in China. And we know that, listen to this, what God had been praying about the coming year is Isaiah the prophet said this from the scriptures, that when the enemy comes in, and we'd say the enemy has come in, what is his purpose? Jesus said the enemy's purpose is to kill and to steal and to destroy. But he went on to say, but I have come. Why did Jesus come? I have come to give life, and that more abundantly. He's come to give you life. Listen to me. There's some things out of our control, but one thing is certain. In this world and the world to come, is that God is never taken by surprise, that he is omnipotent, all-powerful, that he is able to accomplish what he promises. He's able to fulfill his promises to you that if you believe in Jesus, that you will be saved and you'll have eternity in heaven. The name of Jesus is our hope. He's really our only hope for salvation. The name of Jesus is our hope and our safety. Believing on his name brings peace and comfort to our souls. And I can tell you that. I'm not just speaking words, empty words. I'm speaking from personal experience. And when I trusted in Christ as my Savior, age of 14 years old, I walked out of a prayer room where I confessed him as Savior, and the burdens of that 14-year-old heart were lifted. The pain and the shame was gone. The suicidal thoughts and disparity of life was gone. I was full of joy. I had never known such joy in my life. And the lightness of heart, I came out of there. I literally had to look down because I felt like I was walking on air. He lifts our burdens. He takes away our pain and our shame. He washes away all of our sins, all of our past, and he gives us a new life. He writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's referred to in the last part of Revelation that there are books in heaven at the great white throne judgment, and there's books that will be opened at that judgment as we stand, as those who have not trusted in Christ stand before the throne of God. And it says the books will be opened. What are the books? It's your rap sheet. It's all of your sins. Every time you cursed God and profaned his name, every time you committed an immoral act, every time you told a lie, every time you sinned. You know what the good news is? When Jesus came and he died and bled on the cross, his blood that was shed was an atonement. It was the power to forgive your sins, to wipe away your sins. And when we trust in him, we say, Jesus, forgive me. God, I believe in you. Come into my heart and make me a new person. I repent of my sins, God. I'm sorry for my sins. Is that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, there's a portion of the Holy Spirit that comes into our heart and he causes something supernatural to take place. It causes us to be converted in our heart. Our heart is born again. When I say our heart, I'm not talking about our physical heart. I'm talking about the heart of our spirit. That we are born again and new life comes into us. And that new life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, regenerates us and creates a new life inside of us. And we become changed one moment at a time, one glory at a time just comes and the Holy Spirit changes from the inside out. We're not perfect, but God says because the blood of Christ covers you, you're perfect. And you know the cool thing is? He writes our name in another book that's opened. It's referred to the Book of Life. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus was the Lamb of God. He writes our name in that book. I honestly don't know if in that book it says Tim or just Tim Hawthorne, but either way, there's probably, in fact, I know years ago on Facebook, we had a Tim Hawthorne club on Facebook. You know, there's a guy in England, and we were conversing over because he was a Tim Hawthorne too. I have a nephew who's named after me, Tim Hawthorne. But you know what? It doesn't matter because you know what? God is omniscient as well, which means he's all wise and knowing. He could just put my name down there, Tim, and God knows right away that's me. He knows your name too. Did you hear me? He knows your name. He knows all about your life. He knows all about your joy and he knows all about your pain. He knows about the secret part that you hide from others, the shame, the things that you've done that you're ashamed of. And you know what? The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that even while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us anyway. He didn't wait for us to become perfect. We didn't have to be good enough. He just said, no, if you just call on the name of my son, I'll forgive you. I'll wash away your sins. The Holy Spirit will cause you to be born again and you'll become not just a member of my kingdom, but you'll be a member of my family. He calls us sons and daughters. Isn't that awesome? You know what the gospel means? It means good news. That's good news. That's awesome news. I'd like you to bow your heads just for a moment. Would you do that as we close this service? It's been a wonderful day. Wonderful day. Amy and the choir, the quartet, or the with one minus one because of sickness, but it was incredible. The King's kids, the children who came up. It's been a wonderful day. I love Christmas. I look forward to it so much every year. I'm looking forward to my family coming, but you know what I'm really looking forward to? I'm looking forward to giving you an opportunity to put your full faith and trust in Christ and be born again. And I'm going to ask you, nobody's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I want to give you that opportunity that if you would like to place your trust in Christ, if you would like to have your sins forgiven, if you would like to be born again, if you would like to have your name written in the book of life and have your sins washed away, would you just quickly right now, don't waste a lot of time, just stick your hand up real quick to say, that's me, Pastor. Would you pray for me when we close? I see that hand. Amen. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just ask you right now to pray a prayer with me, asking Jesus to forgive you and to write your name in the book of life. Would you pray with me today? Would everybody pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of the living God. I believe you died on the cross in my place. I believe your blood has the power to wipe away all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me from all my sins and make me a new person. I ask in Jesus' name, and I thank you that you heard my prayer and answered it. Amen. Amen. Now, before you go, I'm going to ask you that if you prayed that prayer, that if you would please tear off a portion of the bulletin and write your name there and turn it in at the information table or the visitor's table right outside the church. We'd love to get you some resources. In fact, if you come up to me afterwards, I can get those resources for you to help you get started in your new life. I want to encourage you to come to church, be a part of a church, and bring your family. This is a wonderful church to be a part of. Normally on a day like this, this place would be packed. We'd have all the chairs out. We have limited chairs. But because of COVID, it's a lot less. But we thank you for coming. It's so wonderful to have you. But you be a part of this church. There's children's programs on Wednesday nights and that are discipleship programs, and they're a lot of fun. And there's King's Kids on Sunday. There's just so many things. Rock House, youth ministries, and adult programs and Bible studies just to help you and to be a blessing to you. So I'll just ask you to come. Would you stand with me as I bless you as we leave today? And now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Lord God, I bless this people in this congregation as well as those watching online, Father, with the blessing of the power and the joy of your presence, the presence of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Christ of Christmas, the name of Jesus be a blessing to them. And Lord, I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.